Hello and welcome to the Gustavo Franco podcast, where we explore the multifaceted world of healthcare. I'm your host, Gustavo Franco, a passionate healthcare student and an aspiring physician. Our mission is to better understand the U.S. healthcare system while studying both its flaws and strengths, as well as comparing it to other healthcare systems around the globe. Not only do we examine the policies and regulations behind healthcare, but we also take a closer look at the experiences of patients and doctors within the system. We aim to provide listeners with a deeper understanding of how healthcare truly operates. We share stories of individuals navigating the U.S. healthcare system, as well as present engaging interviews with professionals offering their experiences and expertise to help us understand the inner workings of healthcare. We believe that an informed public is the key to creating a more effective healthcare system, and we dedicate ourselves to this mission, providing insight and analysis on the ever-changing landscape of the U.S. healthcare system. Join us every month as we embark on a journey of studying healthcare together. Please note that the opinions expressed on this podcast are ours and of our guests and do not constitute any professional advice. While we strive to be as accurate as possible, we acknowledge that there are often many viewpoints on a topic and our research may not be exhaustive. Therefore, we encourage listeners to engage with the subject matter and conduct their own research and confirm any information before making any decisions. Thank you for listening and joining us on this healthcare exploration. Welcome to another episode of the Gustavo Franco podcast. I'm your host, Gustavo Franco, and today we're diving deep into a topic that affects each and every one of us: the staggering economics of healthcare in the United States. Prepare to be shocked as we uncover some jaw-dropping statistics that shed light on the perplexing state of our healthcare economy. According to data from the World Health Organization and the Kaiser Family Foundation, our national health expenditure has skyrocketed from a mere $27 billion in 1960 to a mind-boggling $4.3 trillion in 2021. That's a staggering 159-fold increase in just six decades. We're pouring an astronomical $12,914 per person per year into healthcare, making the United States the undisputed heavyweight champion of healthcare spending per capita, surpassing the second highest spender, Germany, by a staggering 1.75 times. Germany spends $7,383 per capita, while we pour nearly $13,000 per person into healthcare. Now you might be wondering if all this spending actually translates into a healthcare system that's effective, efficient, and accessible to all. Unfortunately, the answer isn't quite as reassuring. Despite our colossal spending, our nation's health outcomes fall short of what one might expect. Consider this. The United States currently ranks 46th globally in terms of life expectancy. Yes, you heard that right. 46th. And when it comes to burden of disease, measured by a metric called DALI, which account for years of life lost due to premature death or a disability, we rank a shocking 82nd with a DALI of 26,000 per 100,000 people. Now, let's put this into perspective. Singapore, a country with one of the world's most efficient healthcare systems, boasts the lowest morbidity and mortality rates, with a remarkably low DALI of 15,000. And here's the kicker. Singapore achieves this while spending just $2,633 per capita per year on healthcare, while we can't even do it with nearly $13,000 per capita per year. So, to break it down, the average life expectancy in Singapore is nearly 5 years longer. Their quality of life in terms of health is significantly better, with much less disabilities, and they do all of that with just one-fifth of the money per capita that we use in the US. So in today's episode, we'll unpack these astonishing statistics, we'll explore where all this healthcare spending is actually going, and we'll delve into the complex factors contributing to this economic puzzle. It's time to understand the economics of healthcare and what it means for all of us. So buckle up and let's jump right in. Let's begin today's episode by defining healthcare expenditure. What exactly is healthcare expenditure and what does it mean for us here in the US? Imagine for a moment that our entire healthcare system is a colossal pit of money. And for every dollar that goes into healthcare services, it's like tossing a coin into that pit. healthcare expenditure is essentially the grand total of all those coins that we're tossing in. It's the sum of all the money that our country invests in keeping us healthy, diagnosing and treating illnesses, and maintaining the overall well-being of our population. However, when we talk about healthcare expenditure in the US, we're not just talking about chump change. We're talking about big, big bucks. According to the World Health Organization, as I said, our national healthcare expenditure hit a jaw-dropping $4.3 trillion in 2021. Yes, you heard that right, trillion with a T. That's more money than we can even fathom. And it keeps growing year after year. So why should you care about this mind-boggling number? Well, because it directly impacts your life and your wallet. In the US, we're forking out an average of $12,914 per person per year in healthcare. That's a lot of hard-earned cash going towards doctor's visits, hospital stays, medications, and everything in between. But here's the kicker. While we're the undisputed heavyweight champions of healthcare spending per capita, our healthcare system isn't giving us the bang for our buck that we might expect. And that's what we're here to unpack today. First things first, healthcare spending encompasses everything related to maintaining and improving our health. But it's important to distinguish between two key terms, health spending and healthcare spending. Health spending refers to all resources we allocate towards maintaining our health, including the money we spend on nutritious food, exercise equipment, gym memberships, and even things like clean air and safe drinking water. Think of it as the proactive investments we make in staying healthy. On the other hand, healthcare spending specifically refers to the expenditures related to medical services and products designed to diagnose, treat, and manage illnesses or injuries. This includes expenses like doctor's visits, hospital stays, surgeries, prescription medications, medical equipment, and even administrative costs associated with healthcare. Healthcare spending is what we will be focusing on today's episode. So if we mention any numbers, be sure that we're referring to healthcare spending. Now, let's get back into our trillion-dollar question. What counts towards healthcare spending in the US? We'll be diving into a breakdown of the spending later, but some of the items that count for healthcare spending are hospital care, prescription drugs, dental care, and more. Now that we've taken a closer look at the colossal numbers that define healthcare spending, you might be wondering, why does all of this actually matter to me as an individual? Well, imagine you're driving a car and you notice that the fuel gauge is plummeting very rapidly. You wouldn't just keep driving blindly, right? You'd want to know why your gas is disappearing so quickly and whether you're actually getting the best mileage for your money. Healthcare spending is a lot like a fuel gauge, and here's why understanding it is crucial. 1. Personal finances. Healthcare spending directly impacts your wallet. As I mentioned earlier, in the United States, we're shelling out an average of $12,914 per person per year on healthcare, and 10% of that actually comes as out-of-pocket payments. That's no small change. Understanding where your healthcare dollars are going can help you make informed decisions about your health insurance, medical treatments, and even budgeting for healthcare expenses. 2. Health outcomes. The choices you make about healthcare spending can influence your health outcomes. Knowing how healthcare resources are allocated can empower you to make healthier choices and advocate for treatments or services that will benefit you the most, especially knowing that the US health outcomes are far from great compared to other nations. 3. Policy advocacy. When you understand the complexities of healthcare spending, you're better equipped to engage in discussions about healthcare policy, whether it's advocating for more efficient use of healthcare resources or supporting policies that ensure equitable access to care. Your knowledge is your greatest tool there. 4. Avoiding surprise bills. Have you ever received an unexpected medical bill that left you in shock? Understanding healthcare spending can help you navigate the maze of medical billing and insurance claims. It enables you to ask the right questions and avoid those dreaded surprise bills. 5. Making informed decisions. From choosing the right health insurance plan to selecting a healthcare provider or treatment option, knowledge of healthcare spending can guide you in making informed choices that align with your needs and values. In essence, understanding healthcare spending empowers you to take control of your health and finances advocate for better healthcare systems, and make decisions that are in your best interest. But it's not just about the individual impact. It's about our collective well-being as a nation. When we understand where our healthcare dollars are going, we can work together to improve our healthcare system and ensure that it delivers on its promises to better health for all. It's important to understand that our current healthcare spending is not sustainable and that we'll have to innovate. And I hope that you listening will be one of the people to help improve our healthcare system and lead change. But okay, enough about the background of healthcare spending. Let's dive deep into where this money is actually all going. For this, I'm going to use a lot of data from the CMS, a federal agency which stands for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. They publish a lot of data on National Health Expenditure Accounts, NHEA, which are the official estimates of total healthcare spending in the United States. These National Health Expenditure Accounts are broken down into healthcare goods and services, public health activities, government administration, the net cost of health insurance, and investments related to healthcare. The data are presented by type of service, sources of funding, and type of sponsor. I'll use data from the Kaiser Family Foundation to support some of the CMS data. So here we go. Let's break down where the money went to in 2021 and what the trend was from the previous year. 1. Hospital care, 31% of total healthcare spending. We kick things off with hospital care, which commands a whopping 31% share of healthcare spending. In 2021, our nation's spending on hospital care services reached an astonishing $1.3 trillion. However, it's important to note that this represented a slower growth rate of 4.4% compared to the 6.2% growth rate that we experienced in 2020. This deceleration in 2021 can be attributed to a substantial decrease in funding from other federal programs, with COVID-19 relief included in this category. Remarkably, spending growth in 2021 exceeded that of 2020 for major players of hospital care services: Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. 2. Physician and clinical services, 20% share of our healthcare spending. Next in line, we have physician and clinical services, accounting for a significant 20% of healthcare spending. In 2021, our nation invested $864.6 billion in these services, representing a 5.6% increase from the previous year. However, this growth rate was significantly slower than the 6.6% increase witnessed in 2020. Similar to hospital care, the deceleration in 2021 was largely due to a decline in funding from federal programs that provided COVID-19 relief. Yet, spending growth for physician and clinical services accelerated in 2021 for major players, just like it did for hospital care services, including Medicare, Medicaid, private health insurance, and out-of-pocket expenses. 3. Retail prescription drugs, 9% share of healthcare spending. Now let's turn our attention to the retail prescription drugs, a vital component of healthcare spending, occupying a 9% share. In 2021, we collectively invested a substantial $378 billion in prescription medications. This marked a faster growth rate of 7.8% compared to the 3.7% increase observed in 2020. This acceleration in growth can be attributed to an increase in utilization of prescription drugs during that year. 4. Other health, residential, and personal care services, 5% share. This diverse category encompasses expenditures for medical services that are generally delivered by providers in non-traditional settings, including schools, community centers, workplaces, as well as by ambulance providers and residential mental health and substance abuse facilities. In 2021, spending for these services reached $223.5 billion, growing at a rate of 6.1%. 5. Nursing care facilities and continuing care retirement communities, 4% share of healthcare expenditure. This segment delves into the realm of nursing care facilities and continuing care retirement communities. These services experienced a notable decline in 2020, with spending dropping by 7.9% to $181.3 billion. This sharp contrast came after a remarkable 13.1% growth in 2020. The decline in 2021 can be attributed to decreased spending from other federal programs, coupled with modest declines in out-of-pocket payments and private health insurance payments. 6. Dental services, 4% share of healthcare spending. Dental care is another integral part of our healthcare spending picture. In 2021, spending for dental services saw a remarkable surge, rising by 16.1% to $161.8 billion. This substantial acceleration followed a 3% decline in 2020. The growth in dental services expenditures in 2021 was primarily driven by an increased out-of-pocket spending and contributions from private health insurance. These factors more than compensated for the decline in federal funding from Paycheck Protection Program loans and the Provider Relief Fund. 7. Other professional services, 3% share of healthcare spending. Other professional services reached a total expenditure of $130.6 billion in 2021. These services experienced a noteworthy growth rate of 11%, outpacing the 6.1% growth rate seen in 2020. The faster growth rate in 2021 was primarily driven by spending from Medicare and private health insurance. This category includes establishments of independent health practitioners, except physicians and dentists, that primarily provide services such as physical therapy, optometry, podiatry, and chiropractic medicine. 8. Home healthcare, 3% share of national healthcare spending. Next, we turn our attention to home healthcare services. Spending for these services provided by freestanding home health care agencies increased modestly by 0.2% in 2021, reaching a total of $125.2 billion. This growth rate marked a significant deceleration from the robust 11.2% expansion witnessed in 2020. This lower growth rate in 2021 can be attributed to the reduced federal funding through Paycheck Protection Program loans and the Provider Relief Fund. 9. Other non-durable medical products, 2% share. Retail spending for other non-durable medical products, including over-the-counter medicines, medical instruments, and surgical dressings, surged by 14.1% in 2021, reaching a total of $97.4 billion. This impressive growth rate marked a notable acceleration compared to the 5.1% increase observed in 2020. It's noteworthy that out-of-pocket spending accounted for a substantial 98% of total spending in this category. 10. Durable medical equipment, 2% share. Last but not least, we take a look at durable medical equipment, which includes items like contact lenses, eyeglasses, and hearing aids. In 2021, retail spending for durable medical equipment saw a remarkable acceleration, rising by 21.8% to $67.1 billion. This growth rate followed a decline of 2.4% in 2020 and was primarily driven by faster growth in out-of-pocket and private health insurance spending in 2021. It's also worth mentioning that there are extra costs that we wouldn't usually think of as healthcare costs. These are administrative costs and the total cost of health insurance, and they both stand near the top of the list that we just went through. Total administration accounts for 7% share of the total healthcare spending, which is about $307 billion per year. The net cost of health insurance costs about 6% of healthcare spending, and that translates to about $255.65 billion. So that's the full breakdown of where healthcare spending is going in terms of services. However, what's pretty interesting to notice is that within these categories, you get vastly different growth rates. Most of them have positive growth rates, but some of them do have negative growth rates, meaning that they're actually decreasing in size. But most of them fall within 4 and 20% growth rates, which is crazy. Imagine there's $4.3 trillion going into healthcare already. And if these different categories keep growing at a rate of between 4 and 20%, are we actually going to be able to sustain this system? It's already worth about 20% of the US total GDP. And if it keeps growing at this rate, it's pretty hard to imagine how we're going to be able to sustain it. So just to rank them one more time in terms of greatest to least spending, we have hospital care, physician and clinical services, retail prescription drugs, total administration, net cost of health insurance, other health, residential, and personal care services, nursing care facilities, and continuing care retirement communities, dental services, home health care, other professional services, other non-durable medical products, and finally, durable medical equipment. So there you have it, the full breakdown of healthcare spending. But I hate to break it to you, that is not the only way that we can actually break down healthcare spending. Another way to break it down is by where all this money is actually coming from. So let's now consider the major sources of funds. After all, understanding where the money comes from is just as vital as understanding where it goes. And I promise, this is a way smaller list. First up, we have private health insurance, accounting for 28% share of total healthcare spending. Private health insurance is a true cornerstone of healthcare funding. In 2021, private health insurance spending surged by 5.8%, reaching a staggering $1.2 trillion. This remarkable growth was fueled by robust spending on medical goods and services, driven by both increased utilization and an uptick in enrollment. Speaking of enrollment, it increased by 0.3% in 2021, reaching a substantial 200.7 million people. Private health insurance plays a pivotal role in financing healthcare for millions of Americans, covering a wide range of medical services. 2. Medicare, accounting for 21% share of healthcare spending. Next on our list is Medicare, a lifeline for many seniors and disabled citizens. In 2021, Medicare spending experienced a notable uptick of 8.4%, totaling $900.8 billion. This marked a significant shift from the slower growth rate of 3.6% observed in 2020. The surge in 2021 can be attributed to a 3.9% rise in spending for fee-for-service expenditures, which accounts for 54% of total Medicare expenditures. Additionally, a substantial 14.1% increase in Medicare private health plan spending contributed to this growth. Medicare enrollment also saw an increase of 1.7% in 2021, compared to a 2.1% increase rate in 2020. 3. Medicaid, constituting a 17% share of national healthcare spending. Medicaid, the vital safety net program that provides healthcare coverage for low-income individuals and families, is yet another significant player in funding of our healthcare system. If you haven't listened to my episode on Medicaid, be sure to do so because it helps explain a lot of what we talk about in today's episode. In 2021, Medicaid spending surged by 9.2%, reaching a total of $734 billion. This growth rate was on par with the 9.3% increase observed in 2020. What's noteworthy is that Medicaid enrollment grew even faster in 2021, with an 11.2% increase compared to the 4.8% increase in 2020. This rapid enrollment expansion was primarily due to the continuous enrollment requirement of the Families First Coronavirus Response Act of 2020, reflecting the crucial role of Medicaid played during the pandemic in providing coverage for those in need. 4. Out-of-pocket payments, which constitute, as I said before, 10% of total healthcare spending. Now let's not forget the role that each one of us plays in financing our healthcare. Out-of-pocket spending, which includes payments for medical goods and services that we make directly, accounts for 10% of healthcare funding, 10% of $4.3 trillion. In 2021, total out-of-pocket spending surged by a remarkable 10.4%, a stark contrast from the 2.6% decline it witnessed in 2020. This increase in 2021 was largely driven by an upswing in the utilization of medical goods and services following a decreased usage in 2020. This was largely due to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Your out-of-pocket contributions are a critical component of healthcare financing and reflect the individual responsibility we all have in supporting our health and well-being. So there you have it, 4 major sources of funding that underpin our healthcare system. Each plays a unique and indispensable role in ensuring that healthcare services are accessible to those who need them. As we delve deeper into this intricate world of healthcare spending, we'll continue to uncover the implications of these funding sources. But now I want to take a step back and look at the history of healthcare spending in the US. What is the historical trend of healthcare spending? And I assure you, this is probably one of the most fascinating parts of this episode. Remember that I started the episode by saying that back in 1960, healthcare spending in the United States was a mere $27 billion. At that time, it represented just 5% of our gross domestic product, GDP. Fast forward to 2021, and the landscape has undergone an astonishing transformation. Healthcare spending skyrocketed to a mind-boggling $4.3 trillion, representing a jaw-dropping 159-fold increase in healthcare spending. But that's not all. In 2021, healthcare spending accounted for a staggering 18.25% of our GDP, a near four-fold increase in the percentage of overall value of goods and services produced in the U.S. that are healthcare-related. And what is really interesting here is to look at the overall life expectancy in the U.S. over time and compare that to healthcare spending. Because one would think that the investments we have made in healthcare since 1960 would have made the most significant difference in life expectancy. But that is far from what we actually see. Life expectancy in the U.S. in 1865 was 35.1 years, and in 2020, it was 78.8 years. It has fallen a little bit since then because of COVID and drug overdoses, but we will use the life expectancy in 2020 for the purposes of this example. So from 1865 to 2020, there was an increase in life expectancy of 43.7 years. But when did the majority of this increase actually happen? From 1865 to 1935, before we even saw the surge in healthcare spending, in what we call the sanitation and immunization period, life expectancy increased from 35.1 to 60.7. Yep, that's right. Improved sanitation and first vaccines brought life expectancy up by 25.6 years. And this has been the most significant factor in increasing life expectancy. Then you have the antibiotic period from 1935 to 1960, where antibiotics really gained traction and became widely used. This era also saw significant improvements in vaccines. And here you see a jump in life expectancy from 60.7 years to 69.7 years, a 9-year increase in life expectancy in only a 25-year period, making antibiotics the second most significant factor in increasing life expectancy. And remember, in 1960, the end of these periods that we just talked about, healthcare spending was still a mere $27 billion, 159 times less than what it is right now. And then, lastly, in the 60-year period from 1960 to 2020, as healthcare spending increased 159-fold to $4.3 trillion, life expectancy increased by a mere 9 years. Isn't it just surprising to take a step back and look at what the major drivers of life expectancy really are and ponder as to whether higher spending always really leads to better health? Well, this was a bunch of information that deserves a whole episode of its own, and I'm super interested in longevity, so I think this is super cool. But now let's dive back into the history of healthcare spending. We will break down this insane transformation and try to understand the trends and forces that have shaped the landscape of healthcare spending in America. And for this, I'll break down each decade, starting in the 1960s. 1960s, the era of modesty. In the 1960s, healthcare spending in the U.S. was relatively modest, even though life expectancy had increased significantly in the previous 100 years. It was a time when healthcare was far less advanced, and the costs associated with medical treatments and technologies were significantly lower. Health insurance was also less prevalent, with many Americans relying on out-of-pocket payments to cover their medical bills. 1970s, the shift towards insurance. As the 1970s rolled in, the landscape began to change. Health insurances became a lot more common, and government programs like Medicare and Medicaid were introduced. These initiatives expanded access to healthcare services and started to drive up spending as people were more likely to seek care. 1980s, the rise of technology. The 1980s saw rapid advancements in medical technology, leading to more sophisticated treatments and diagnostics. These innovations, while improving patient care, also brought with them higher costs. 1990s, managed care and cost containment. The 1990s brought the rise of managed care organizations aiming to control healthcare costs. While these efforts did slow down the rate of increase in healthcare spending was still on an upward trajectory. 2000s, the prescription drug boom. The new millennium ushered in a prescription drug boom. With the introduction of expensive and life-saving medications, pharmaceutical spending surged, contributing significantly to overall healthcare costs. And remember that prescription drugs accounts for 9% of total healthcare spending in the U.S. nowadays. 2010s, the Affordable Care Act and healthcare reform. The Affordable Care Act, ACA, of 2010 marked a significant shift in healthcare policy. It expanded access to health insurance, but debates around its impact on overall spending persisted. Despite efforts to control costs, healthcare expenditure continued to rise. 2020s, the impact of a global pandemic. Enter the 2020s, a decade that has been dominated by the global COVID-19 pandemic. The pandemic revealed both the strengths and the vulnerabilities of our healthcare system. While it led to substantial increases in healthcare spending, it also underscored the importance of healthcare access and preparedness. So, what do these historical trends tell us? They reveal that healthcare spending in the United States is a complex and evolving story, influenced by advancements in medical technology, changes in insurance coverage, government policies, and the broader economic landscape. While we've seen remarkable progress in healthcare, we've also witnessed the challenges of escalating costs, disparities in access, and the need for ongoing reform. As we look to the future, it's clear that understanding these historical trends is essential for navigating the path forward. And while I would love to dive into the specifics of why healthcare spending has increased so much, that is a whole other topic that I'll also make a separate episode on. But some of the key points to think about, in addition to all the buckets of healthcare spending that we already covered, are 1. Preventative versus non-preventative care. 2. Chronic condition management. 3. Supply and demand of healthcare services. 4. Cost-benefit analysis in healthcare decision-making. But as I mentioned, it's also important to remember all those buckets of healthcare spending that we mentioned earlier, which are just one more time because they're really important for you to remember. Hospital care, physician and clinical services, retail prescription drugs, total administration, net cost of health insurance, other health, residential, and personal care services, nursing care facilities and continuing care retirement communities, dental services, home health care, other professional services, other non-durable medical products, and finally, durable medical equipment. These are areas marking significant healthcare spending in the U.S., and they just show how broad and big our healthcare system actually is and how it can be tackled from so many different angles. But now, as we navigate the complex world of healthcare spending, it's also crucial to take a step back and take a global perspective. In this part of the episode, we're going to embark on a fascinating journey as we compare two healthcare systems, one being the United States and the other being Japan. The differences are striking and the lessons are enlightening. Let's begin by examining the astonishing contrast in healthcare spending between these two nations. In the United States, healthcare expenditure has reached monumental proportions. As I've talked about throughout the episode, according to the World Health Organization, in 2021, the U.S. spent a staggering $4.3 trillion on healthcare, translating to approximately $12,914 per capita per year. This places the U.S. at the pinnacle of healthcare spending, outpacing all other nations in per capita expenditure. It's also important to note that this colossal spending is by far the highest among all developed countries. Now let's shift our gaze to Japan. Japan consistently ranks as one of the world's healthiest nations, consistently securing a spot in the top 5 for life expectancy and boasting some of the lowest disease burdens globally. However, the most remarkable aspect of Japan's healthcare system is the stark difference in spending. Japan manages to achieve these impressive health outcomes while spending a mere $4,666 per capita per year on healthcare. This striking contrast raises the essential question. How does Japan achieve such remarkable health outcomes while spending significantly less than the United States? One of the primary factors contributing to Japan's efficiency in healthcare spending is its emphasis on preventative care. Japan's healthcare system focuses on early prevention, regular checkups, and a strong culture of preventative medicine. This approach helps identify health issues before they become costly chronic conditions, ultimately reducing the financial burden on the system. And this is a massive contrast from the approach that the U.S. takes, because from all that spending that we talked about, from the $4.3 trillion, 86% of that actually goes into the treatment of chronic conditions, while Japan tries to focus on preventative care. So that's one key topic that we must think about when comparing Japan and the U.S., because the U.S., as I said, spends 86% of all healthcare spending on chronic conditions, which is pretty significant, okay? Another key feature of Japan's healthcare system is its universal coverage. Japan has a comprehensive health insurance system that covers nearly every citizen, ensuring access of care to those who need them. The system is funded through a combination of employer and employee contributions, government subsidies, and out-of-pocket payments. This universal coverage ensures that everyone has access to healthcare services, which helps manage health issues before they become severe and costly. Japan also implements rigorous cost control measures. The Japanese government regulates healthcare prices, ensuring that medical services and treatments remain affordable. This practice helps keep healthcare costs in check and prevents price gouging by healthcare providers and pharmaceutical companies. Furthermore, Japan boasts an incredibly efficient administrative system, categorized by lower administrative overhead and streamlined paperwork compared to the US. This efficiency minimizes bureaucracy costs and administrative waste, allowing a more significant portion of healthcare spending to go toward actual patient care. I also can't go without saying that Japan's remarkable health outcomes are also attributed to its culture and lifestyle. The Japanese people tend to adopt healthy lifestyles, including a balanced diet, regular physical activity, and strong social connections. These factors contribute to overall well-being and reduce the prevalence of chronic diseases. Additionally, Japan offers robust social support systems, including care for the elderly and those with disabilities. This comprehensive social safety net reduces the financial burden on individuals and families and helps maintain the population's health and independence. In comparing the US and Japanese healthcare systems, we observe that while the United States spends a significant portion of its GDP on healthcare with mixed health outcomes, Japan achieves impressive health outcomes with a significantly lower spending per capita. So let's break down the reasons that we just talked about as to why Japan has a lower healthcare spending than the US. 1. Universal coverage and regulation. At the heart of Japan's healthcare success is its universal coverage. The Japanese government mandates that all citizens have health insurance, creating a broad risk pool. This inclusive approach ensures that everyone can access medical care when needed, promoting early intervention and prevention. Insurance coverage is typically a mix of employer and employee contributions, government subsidies, and out-of-pocket payments. Moreover, what makes this model work for Japan and what makes it very effective is that Japan enforces strict price regulations. The government sets standardized fees for medical procedures and services, and this not only keeps costs in check, but also prevents price gouging, ensuring that medical care remains affordable for all. 2. Preventative healthcare culture. Japan places a strong emphasis on preventative care. Routine checkups, health screenings, and early interventions are ingrained into their culture. By identifying health issues before they escalate into severe and costly conditions, Japan keeps healthcare costs manageable. 3. Administrative efficiency. The Japanese healthcare system boasts exceptional administrative efficiency. It keeps bureaucracy at a minimum, reducing administrative overhead and paperwork. This streamlined approach allows a more significant portion of healthcare spending to be allocated to actual patient care. 4. Rational medication usage. Japan maintains a rigorous approval process for new medications, focusing on their cost effectiveness. This process ensures that only medications providing substantial benefits are approved and covered by insurance. It prevents overprescribing and promotes the efficiency of pharmaceuticals. 5. Healthy lifestyle and diet. The Japanese lifestyle and diet play a pivotal role in maintaining health. A diet rich in fresh vegetables, lean proteins, and fish, along with regular physical activity, contribute to overall well-being. These habits reduce the prevalence of chronic diseases, lowering the overall burden on the healthcare system. 6. strong social support systems. Japan offers robust social support systems, especially for the elderly and individuals with disabilities. These systems reduce the financial burden on individuals and families while ensuring that health and social care are readily accessible. Remember what we talked about earlier, the difference between health and healthcare spending? Well, Japan tries to focus a lot more on their health spending. They try to put a lot more money into their social services, nutrition, physical activities, so that the whole country as a whole can be healthier. The U.S. focuses a lot more on chronic conditions. As I said, 86% of healthcare spending goes into treating chronic conditions. And this is something that really drives health outcomes down and healthcare spending up. 7. Community-based healthcare. Japan has a strong network of community-based healthcare providers. This decentralized system ensures that healthcare is delivered efficiently and with a focus on local needs. In essence, Japan's healthcare system presents a compelling blueprint for achieving efficiency in healthcare spending. Its universal coverage, strict price regulation, preventative healthcare culture, administrative efficiency, rational medication use, and healthy lifestyles contribute to its remarkable cost-effectiveness and great health outcomes. While the healthcare systems of the United States and Japan differ significantly, Japan offers valuable lessons on how to provide accessible, high-quality healthcare while managing costs. We will see in future episodes that the U.S. can't just simply implement the same system as Japan from one day to the next, and some key aspects of Japan's healthcare system, such as universal coverage, could not feasibly be implemented in the U.S. with our current system. However, we can use Japan and other countries as lessons and apply them to what we can achieve. As we conclude our journey through the intricate world of healthcare spending, it's only fitting to turn our gaze toward a future that holds both promises and challenges. Healthcare spending is like a complex equation with countless variables, making it exceptionally challenging to predict. However, one thing is clear. If current trends persist, we face a massive national spending dilemma. Predicting the trajectory of healthcare spending is like forecasting the weather in a constantly changing climate. While we can analyze past patterns and existing data, the future remains uncertain. Yet, we cannot afford to ignore the signals that are already on the horizon. As we've gone through in this episode, most of the categories within healthcare spending are increasing at pretty significant rates. And over the past few decades, healthcare spending in the U.S. has seen an unprecedented rise. As we've explored in this podcast, we currently spend a staggering $12,914 per capita per year on healthcare, a figure that surpasses any other developed nations. However, the return on this colossal investment in terms of health outcomes is truly disappointing. If healthcare spending continues its unchecked ascent, we may find ourselves on an unsustainable path. The consequences could be dire, both for individuals and for the nation as a whole. One possible outcome is that we simply won't be able to fund our healthcare system. The financial burden could become overwhelming, pushing our debt limits to new heights. If we continue down this road, we risk not only straining our economic resources, but also failing to provide equitable and effective healthcare to all Americans. To navigate this uncertain future, we may need to consider significant and fundamental changes. Our current healthcare system, despite its remarkable capabilities, is in need of reform. We need to strike a balance between providing top-tier medical care and managing costs responsibly. This means exploring innovative approaches to healthcare delivery, promoting preventative care, embracing telemedicine and digital health solutions, and implementing cost-effective measures that don't compromise the quality of care. It also requires a concerted effort to address social determinants of health, such as income inequality, education, and access to nutritious food, which play a significant role in overall well-being. The future of healthcare spending is an ever-evolving puzzle, one that requires our collective attention and dedication. It's a call to action for policymakers, healthcare providers, and individuals alike. While the road ahead is uncertain, it's also filled with potential. By embracing change, fostering innovation, and prioritizing cost-effective solutions, we can reshape the future of healthcare spending in the U.S. And there you have it, a deep dive into the complex world of healthcare spending. we've uncovered surprising statistics, dissected the intricacies of national healthcare expenditure, and explored the stark differences between the healthcare system in the United States and in Japan. As we conclude this episode, let's take a moment to reflect on the most astonishing insights that we've uncovered. Perhaps the most jaw-dropping revelation is the exponential rise in healthcare spending in the United States. In just over six decades, we've witnessed an astronomical 159-fold increase in health spending, with healthcare costs soaring to a staggering $4.3 trillion in 2021. Healthcare spending went from representing 5% of our GDP in 1960 to nearly 20% in 2020, an utmost fourfold increase in the percentage of our GDP devoted to healthcare. And at the same time, this represents the period in the last 150 years where we saw the slowest increase in life expectancy. What's even more astonishing is the disparity between healthcare spending and overall health outcomes compared to other countries. Despite being the biggest spender per capita, spending 1.75 times more than Germany, which is the second biggest spender, the United States ranks 46th globally in terms of life expectancy and 82nd globally in terms of burden of disease. The pivotal question arises, does higher spending necessarily translate into better health? We also embarked on a comparative journey with Japan, a nation that consistently ranks at the top for health outcomes and longevity, while spending significantly less per capita on healthcare. Japan spends $4,666 per capita compared to the US, which spends $12,914 per capita. Japan's healthcare success story is built on principles of prevention, universal coverage, cost control, administrative efficiency, healthy lifestyles, and robust social support systems. As we wrap up, I want to leave you with some thought-provoking questions. How do we justify spending 1.75 times more than the second highest healthcare spender per capita and a 159-fold increase in healthcare spending over the past 6 years when we rank 46th in life expectancy and 82nd in terms of burden of disease globally? What lessons can we learn from other countries' healthcare systems to achieve better health outcomes at a lower cost? And more importantly, how can we implement new strategies that we learn? What changes, innovations, or reforms are necessary to create a more equitable and efficient healthcare system in the United States? These questions are not just for policymakers and experts, but for all of us individuals who are stakeholders in the healthcare system. Your insights and actions matter as we collectively shape the future of healthcare spending. Fixing our healthcare system is going to require new insights and new ways of thinking that policymakers haven't really used in the past. So that's where you come in. I want you to think about everything that we've talked in today's episode and think about these questions that I posed at the end and come up with ways that you think we could actually improve our healthcare system. Then work those out and try to implement them in any way that you can. But this all brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for joining me on this enlightening journey through the complexities of healthcare economics. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I hope to see you again next month. Until next time. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Gustavo Franco Podcast. We hope our exploration of the world of healthcare has been insightful and thought-provoking for you. Remember, the opinions expressed here are ours and of our guests and should not be considered professional advice. This podcast is a collaborative learning experience for both the producers and listeners. While we strive to convey accurate and up-to-date information, we acknowledge that our research may have limitations. We encourage all of our listeners to supplement their knowledge by conducting their own research. If you enjoyed this episode and want to stay up to date on our future releases, make sure to subscribe or follow us on your preferred podcast platform and social media. We highly value your feedback, so please don't hesitate to reach out with your thoughts, questions, or suggestions for future topics. Thank you for joining us on this healthcare exploration. Together, we can foster a more educated America and contribute to a more effective healthcare future. Until next time, take care and stay informed.